This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Law enforcement roadside drug tests have had a reputation for being notoriously inaccurate. But the Michigan State Police believe they've been testing a device which is much more accurate. It's finished a year-long pilot test in counties around the state. Now it plans a second round of testing, and it, or a similar device, could be used statewide. The device we're talking about is Abbott Laboratories' Allere DDS2 mobile test. It's been researched by a Kansas lab. Dr. Timothy Roerig is the director of the Sedgwick County Regional Forensic Science Center. He and his team conducted a peer review study of the DDS2. Dr. Roerig joins us now. Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, sir.
So let's start with the obvious question. How accurate is this on detecting drugs and people pulled over for something?
Well, the device is accurate as far as a screening device to detect drugs or drug classes that the instrument is designed for. I mean, there are some drugs out there that the instrument is not designed to pick up. You can't be 100% inclusive of all drugs out there that could potentially impair driving.
Right. I saw the list was for things like opiates, cocaine, amphetamines, or methamphetamines. How well does it test for marijuana?
Cannabis, at least in our hands, it was a great screening device. We saw a good correlation not only with oral fluid that was collected, analyzed by the laboratory, but we also compared it to blood samples. And one unique thing about our study is we also compared it to the results or opinion of a drug recognition expert. These are police officers that are trained in identifying impairment and taking their observations and at least categorizing it into a class of drugs.
This thing is better at testing for some drugs than others. How much should law enforcement rely on the DDS2 for drugs such as, well, I mentioned amphetamine and methamphetamine? They have a much lower accuracy rate.
Well, it's a good device because the alternative is we don't have one for drugs like we do for alcohol, where there's a presumptive roadside test. With drugs, there is no tool. So it's another tool that law enforcement can use at least to have probable cause to go further in their investigation of drug-impaired driving.
So this is a screening device, not necessarily proof of intoxication or drug influence. Is that correct?
That is correct. It gives you a presumptive result that says we believe with a high level of probability, but we believe a drug or this class of drugs is present in your oral fluid. You should go on to confirm either with more sophisticated laboratory analysis in the oral fluid, or what a lot of people are looking at is using that result as a probable cause to either draw a blood sample or get a search warrant for a blood sample to be collected, which is a more invasive procedure.
But these results wouldn't be something you'd want to take to court?
I believe right now, just based upon this presumptive test, no, you would not. I don't think it would fly in any court if it was just an immunoassay test result only.
Let's talk about some of the concerns. If this device is not 100% accurate, a false positive could land someone in jail overnight or used for probable cause for a warrant to search a vehicle that otherwise wouldn't have been searched. How concerned are law enforcement agencies about those kinds of scenarios?
Well, I can't speak for what other law enforcement agencies or a law enforcement agency has, but again, it's a tool. It's a presumptive test. There are going to be some instances where you may get a positive reading when, in fact, when confirmation is done, you get a not detected. But we have the same challenges, for instance, with our field test for drugs, that is powders and pills that are found out in the field. Law enforcement will use a color test to say, well, we believe it may be cocaine, and that's enough to go on to further investigate.
So let's talk about the procedure. You mentioned oral fluids. I'll just call it spit. If you're pulled over and the officer wants to test you, what exactly is the procedure?
Depending upon the statutes in the state that it's occurring in, but at least the mechanism of collection is essentially a lollipop type device is handed to the suspect. They place it in their mouth. It's in the mouth for a proscribed period of time. There's different collection devices if we're talking in general, but it's a matter of just a couple minutes. That device will absorb the oral fluid from the mouth, and then that device is put into the DDS2, or there's other manufacturers as well, for an immunoassay test, which is a very common screening test that's used in laboratories throughout the world, and it will give you a presumptive positive or negative at a proscribed cutoff concentration.
Some defense attorneys are skeptical. One attorney in an article in the Port Huron Times Herald called it junk science. How well has this worked in the field? You've done the lab test, but in the field, in different states, is it proven technology?
Well, there's a number of studies that have been published. Others are just not published but are known within the scientific community that it is a good screening device. Immunoassay testing has been vetted for decades. I mean, it's a very common test to look for drugs, look for other biological markers used in hospitals, again, throughout the world. Oral fluid testing is not new. It's not novel. You can go back in the literature back into the 70s, and researchers have been looking at the use of oral fluid for drug testing. The challenge is that the concentration of the drugs are quite low in the oral fluid, and until new technology has emerged as a common tool within forensic laboratories, we really didn't have the sensitivity to detect these drugs. And that's why you saw kind of a hiatus, if you will, of oral fluid testing, especially for law enforcement purposes. With that said, oral fluid testing, for instance, in the insurance industry has been used for many, many years. So one, it's not new and novel. It's been well vetted. So I would take issue with the fact that it's junk science. Now, with that said, where some people try to make the leap, which is problematic, is that they'll try to take an oral fluid concentration and directly say, well, that is equivalent to a blood concentration. That you really can't do. But as a tool to say, yes, this person has drug on board that is proximal to the time of the contact with law enforcement, that could be an explanation for their impaired driving behavior. It's a very reliable, fantastic tool, and one that I believe should be used.
How many other states are using this DDS2 mobile test?
Well, I know that a number of states are looking at it. Alabama has just rolled it out. State of Kansas, we're looking at using it here, but as earlier when you said you want to call it spit versus oral fluid, the statutes in the state of Kansas to allow collection allowed the collection of saliva, and oral fluid is mainly saliva, but there's some other things in there, and that's why it's called oral fluid. So the legislature wanted to clean up our statutes before we started using this or potentially using this as a presumptive test for drug-impaired driving. California, there's been a number of counties in California that have been looking at it and have used it at some level. And the Michigan State Police just completed a very nice pilot study that kind of, you know, goes along with our findings and goes along with findings that other researchers have found throughout the country. It's quite frequently used in other countries in the world, Australia, the U.K., some European countries have used similar devices in their enforcement of traffic law.
Dr. Timothy Roerig is the director of the Sedgwick County Regional Forensic Science Center in Kansas. Thanks very much for telling us about the DDS2.
You're welcome, sir.
Now, in a related bit of news, my Michigan Radio News colleague Virginia Gordon reports a state-appointed commission is advising against setting a legal limit for the level of THC for marijuana in driver blood tests. Available science shows a poor correlation between THC blood levels and driver impairment. It recommends using roadside sobriety tests instead.